In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from Luke, the first chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, to the town of Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Luke reveals to us a wonderful scene. Tender, exciting, joyous. Mothers and babies and wombs and greetings and voices, words, exclamations. Two pregnant women having a conversation about babies. Nothing unusual here, right? It happens all the time, even here at Holy Cross and Emmanuel. But of course, our gospel reading for today is anything but usual. For old Elizabeth bears in her womb the mighty prophet John, already filled with the Holy Spirit, who is coming to prepare the way of the Lord. And young Mary bears in her womb the Son of the Most High God, who is coming to save you from your sins. Neither woman and neither womb should have ever had such joy. Luke begins his gospel by setting before us the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. They had no child, Luke tells us, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. And when the angel appears to Zechariah in the temple and announces that Elizabeth will bear a son, Zechariah objects. I am old, and my wife is advanced in years. And when Elizabeth conceives, Luke lets us in on her thoughts. Elizabeth says, "The Lord has done this for me. He has taken away my reproach among the peoples." And when Gabriel comes to Mary, the angel himself remarks, "Behold, your relative, Elizabeth, in her old age has conceived a son, and this in her sixth month with her who was called barren." So by the time we come to our point in our text today, Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45, it couldn't be more clear that the womb in which the little joyous prophet John jumps had been a barren womb. The Greek word here is styra, as in sterile, barren. Elizabeth's womb, Elizabeth, shouldn't have had such a joy, couldn't have had such joy. Nor Mary, for that matter. For when Mary comes into the gospel reading, Luke introduces her as a parthenos in the Greek, a virgin, twice in one verse. Verse 27, God sent Gabriel to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. When Gabriel announces that she will be with child, Mary answers, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" Mary's womb should not have had a child, couldn't have had a child. Neither woman, neither womb should have such a joy. But nothing is impossible with God. So there they stand, in Zechariah's house, gazing into one another's faces, staring at each other's bellies, though Mary wouldn't have been showing yet. Still, there they stand, gazing and staring in marvel and praise and endless joy. There they stand, gazing and staring, Mary and Elizabeth, they themselves, the miraculous offspring of their mother Eve, who was as good as dead after her sin in the Garden of Eden, but by the miraculous mercy of God was made to be the mother of all the living. There they stand, Mary and Elizabeth, they themselves, the miraculous offspring of their mother Sarah, their barren ancestor who in her old age gave birth to a son, Isaac, the son of promise. Here in Mary and Elizabeth, the ringing, the laughter of Sarah, transformed from bitter doubt to utter joy, echoes forth again throughout all of Israel. There will be a fulfillment of what is spoken by the Lord. From a virgin's womb comes the Christ. From a barren womb comes his greatest prophet. Out of nothing, ex nihilo, our God creates everything in heaven and on earth. He speaks into darkness, and light comes forth. God takes a nation of slaves, and behold, a kingdom of priests. He takes a people that is stiff-necked and idolatrous, and behold, a holy nation, a people of our God. So yes, from a virgin and a barren womb, God brings forth living, leaping children. Where there is nothing, our God works his everything. And they all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of leftover pieces. Where there is nothing, our God works his everything. Little girl, I say to you, arise. Son, your sins are forgiven. To Peter and the other disciples who were about to abandon and deny him, Jesus declares, I call you friends. And to the Apostle Paul, he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. This God, this Lord in Mary's womb, he does this. He does these things out of nothing. And I am glad for that, because our world is barren. God has preserved much goodness around us, but we have worked such devastation and evil. Christmas has come and Christmas has go, and each Christmas holds out in the music of the season and the cards of the season and the sentiment of the season a prospect of something better, something that lingers in the air and calls to us. We long for some kind of enduring warmth, peace, brotherhood. We long for togetherness, a sense of home, a sense of stability. And if we close our eyes, maybe for a moment, we can try to conjure up something there in the context of our minds. But as soon as we open our eyes, we see the barrenness of this world. Love grown cold, violence, selfish ambition, jealousy, unbelief, arrogance, sinful perversion, conflict, disputing, impatience, anger, hatred, war, neglect of others, ignorance, aimlessness, all such barrenness. And we see all of it every day, usually by the time we're finished brushing our teeth, looking at us from the mirror in our own bathrooms. But in Zechariah's living room, there is joy this Advent for, leaping in a barren womb. John leaps for joy not merely because God has worked miracles, his miracles of conception, but because of who it is that has been conceived in Mary's womb. In the words of Mary's greeting, Spirit-filled Elizabeth and Spirit-filled John perceive the advent of the coming Messiah, Elizabeth's Lord, John's Lord, our Lord, the Lord. Mary is doing her greeting. Elizabeth is exclaiming in praise with a loud voice, and John is leaping, for Jesus has come. There, these women stand, gazing and staring. What joy! What a thing to share! What a story to find themselves together in the midst of! What a visit they must have had! Today, this Advent for right before Christmas, we gather here for Holy Communion. We have the joy of standing here together. We have the joy of praising God together in a loud voice. We have the joy of sharing together in this holy feast, this moment, this visit of God to you again today, in his word and in his own body and blood. Our Lord Jesus comes to us just as truly as he came to Zechariah's house and just as hidden. And the mother of our Lord, Mary, she comes as well. And John the Baptist, he comes too, to share in the joy that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord, together with many children of Abraham and Sarah. They all join with us. Thousands upon thousands of offspring of Sarah's barren womb. Thousands upon thousands, not born of flesh and blood, but of water and spirit, of faith in Jesus Christ. The saints that have gone before us, and angels, and archangels, and all the company of heaven, for today we commune with Christ and with one another, and with all who are in him and are with him. What a joy! What a thing to share in! What a story to find ourselves together in the midst of Advent 4. For God has taken on flesh in the womb of a virgin, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Lord clothed himself with humanity. The one who hung the earth was hung on the cross. The one who fixed the heavens in place has been fixed in place with nails. The one who laid the foundations of the universe was laid upon the cursed tree for you. And he who spoke to creation now again speaks to you. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He who was laid in the barrenness of the tomb has sprung to life this morrow. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Jesus is not here. He is risen. Darkness has given way to light. Sorrow to joy. Mourning to dancing. Sin to righteousness. Guilt to innocence. Death to life. In Jesus, every barrenness must give way to fruitfulness and to joy. For where there was nothing, our God worked everything. In the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, sin, that barren maker, has been made barren, and the bringer of death has been brought the death sentence. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon the lowly estate of his servant. He who is mighty has done great things for me. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and has filled the empty, the barren, with good things. But to those who had everything, to the barren maker and the death dealer, you who were rich, Christ has sent away empty. And that same Lord of heaven and earth, of the widows, of the orphans, of the fatherless, and the barren, that same Jesus has once again today prepared a table for you in the face of your barrenness. So come, you who are barren, you who are adulterated with sin and plagued with death, and receive the fruits of Christ. Come eat, come drink, come and be satisfied. Come take and eat, take and drink the very body and blood of Jesus. He is your life. He is your light. He is your salvation. He is your resurrection. He is your restoration. For where there was nothing, he has worked everything. This is your hope. This is your joy. This is your life. This is your salvation. This is your Christ. This is your King. This is your Jesus, who was crucified and is alive again. To him be all blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might forever and ever. Amen.